If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to start with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing us with your presence, keeping your strong hedge of angels around us so that we can gather like this on Sabbath day and all throughout the week when we share our faith with those you send our way. Thank you for forgiving us, cleansing us, and blessing us with the light of rain so that we can become worthy of going forth to glorify you in those days. And we know it's already sprinkling. We thank you for giving us eyes to see that. And thank you for giving us more love in our hearts for each other and for you, and patience and long-suffering. Thank you for blessing everyone here in attendance, everyone on our prayer list, everyone that's placing, you know, text or prayer requests in the text chat. And thank you for keeping us stable online. Thy will be done in all ways. And thank you, Father, for changing the showbread each and every Sabbath day. And we also thank you for hearing our prayers that we offer unto you in the name of your precious Son, who is our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okie dokie. Yeah, I have a little bit of an issue right now on the server. Keep it in prayer. That's all I'm going to say. It's an outside attack. It's not an issue with our technology here or nothing. But it's been going on for a few minutes, 302 attempts so far. But so far, we're okay. So praise the Lord for that hedge of angels. Let's see, where are my notes? Okay. All right, picking up from where we left off last Sabbath, when we were discussing the sanctuary services being placed in the forefront, as well as Jesus walking into the most holy place, we see the Lord not only gave Daniel an in-depth prophecy on the sanctuary as it coincides with history of mankind, as well as the will of God. This prophecy is a prophecy that has more dates within it than any other prophecy in the Bible. And rightly so, as it is also the last time prophecy was to have specific dates in it. And again, that too angers the many false prophets of today that like to set dates in all the apostate churches, including the Seventh-day Adventist Church, wherein we saw statements of David Gates and his false prophecy placed the church in further disarray. And even though he was proven false, he continued to set even more dates so as to further soil the truth and the God that wrote it. As a matter of fact, some stated that even though he said March and April that his prophecy would fulfill because he was given a 1,260-day prophecy, which was agreeing with the Vatican how they do the day for a day instead of a day for a year like the Bible says. And we know that ended on March 7, 2019. But he also said March and April just to hide the fact that he was setting a date. And so a lot of people defended him and say, oh, no, he meant April 21st. Okay, that came and went. And this is, oh, no, he meant April 30th. And okay, that meant that came and went. And they said, well, he did say it was going to happen in the spring, so you got to give him until at least June 21st, the first day of summer. Well, that came and went. But even in the midst, he kept on putting up, he did another one a couple weeks ago, where he said something was going to happen on Sunday or Tuesday of that. Well, I think it was last week. Anyway, his falderal made the Seventh-day Adventist church look very confused. But then I do believe the Lord allowed that because it is now time the people finally realize the truth about that church asking Jesus to leave way back in 1888. Actually, they had already asked him to leave years prior, but they made it a bold public statement in 1888 when they rejected that message. And if they continue to ignore this, being that we are in the very last days now, it's not going to go well for them or their families, especially those that are the heads of their families, wherein they trust them to study and, you know, do the legwork that, you know, is needed to assure all those they love are safe. And yes, it is time now that if they that lead refuse to do their duty for their loved ones, their very own children will do the studies and walk away from them as well for, didn't Christ say in Matthew 10:37 that he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me? And when that love is cultivated perfectly, did not Christ also say in the verses that led up to this one, in Matthew 10, verses 34 to 36, and thanks again, Brother Sean and Brother Warren, for locking things down. And if those of you on the stream, the text chat will be turned on the stream at the end of the service. I put a little note in there, but that's just for the people that are strolling in now or during that time, because it's off now. But anyway, Matthew 10, verses 34 to 36 says, "Think not that I have come to send peace on earth. I came not to..." Well, he sends peace in our hearts, but he's talking in the general sense here of peace on earth because, well, look at today. Christianity angers so many people. But he did say, "Think not that I come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household." And then, of course, I just read verse 37 a minute ago in regards to people loving, you know, their parents more than they love him, or love their kids more than they love him. They're just not worthy of him. But getting back to Daniel's work and the confirmed obedient duty that has blessed billions with truth they never knew before. To give a quick rundown, you know, because we got to do this in regards to the dates that are found in this prophecy, we see that its starting point is found in Daniel 9:25, you know, the 2300-year thing. It says, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. The street shall be built, and the wall, even in troublous times." I go into a lot more detail about this online, of course, but that command to rebuild was given in Ezra chapter 7, verses 1 to 27, of which I'm not going to read all that, but I'll only share Ezra chapter 7, verse 12, 13, and 23, where it says this: "Artaxerxes, king of kings, unto Ezra the priest, a scribe of the law of God of heaven, perfect peace, and at such a time I make a decree that all they of the people of Israel and of his priests and Levites in my realm, which are minded of their own free will to go up to Jerusalem, go with thee. Whatsoever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it be diligently done for the house of the God of heaven. For why should there be wrath against the realm of the king and his sons?" Because he knew, you know, he understood that he didn't want to take any chances in life with his own family, which is odd, because when you look around today, it's people could care less. I mean, everything from killing their babies in abortion clinics to killing them later on, you know, like when they're children already running around. But when you read up to the point of verse 12 and do the math wherein the lineage and time of Artaxerxes began to publicly speak out on this, and by the way, there were two other kings that made this claim before him to go ahead and rebuild and all this other stuff. You know, Satan was trying to confuse the people in regards to the prophetic fulfillment. They made the claim, but they never actually allowed it to happen. Artaxerxes was the one that allowed it to happen. But anyway, he made that statement in 457 B.C. And so looking at the Daniel 9:24, we see two events are predicted here for the 70 weeks. You know, that week of Daniel as well. It says that 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins. We all know what that means, right? His name is Jesus. Anyway, and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Yes, three things are listed, but when Christ arrives and is anointed, that coincides with him becoming Messiah to make an end of sins. So we are to focus on two things here for now, because when Jesus arrived as Messiah, he was most assuredly anointed at that at the same time. And so we need to look at the holy city and Messiah who makes an end of sin in this prophecy. Daniel then goes into detail outlining these two factors. He says in Daniel 9, 25 and 26, Daniel 9, 25 and 26, he says, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be seven weeks, and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. We already read all that, obviously. But and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. In other words, he didn't do anything wrong to die. Then it goes on and says, and the people of the prince shall come, that shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of war, and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And this is the main reason the Jews to this day call Daniel a false prophet, because he predicted what they were going to do. It's just like with Spirit of Prophecy. They declare those books to be false or plagiarized or whatever because the Jesuits keep rewriting them. And so they're reading the bogus books. But they do that for the same reason the Jews did what they did with Daniel, because they don't like the idea that Joel said, and it was repeated later on in Acts, that in the last days your daughters shall prophesy. So anyway, doing the math, we find that the command to rebuild Jerusalem was in fact 457 B.C. Daniel 9:25 says it took 7 weeks, which is actually 49 years, because we know I give thee a day for a year, right? And there's 7 days in every week, so that's a lot of years. So, and that brings us to 408 B.C. Then Daniel says 62 weeks later, which is actually 434 years, Messiah is going to arrive, right? This brings us to the exact year of 27 A.D., which I messed up in a major way when I was first studying this. Oh, man. What was it, 25 years ago, right after I started keeping Sabbath? I kept forgetting about year zero. Anyway, this brings us to the exact year of 27 A.D. when Jesus puts his foot in the River Jordan, which is the end of week 69 and the start of week 70, which most like to call in circles of, you know, like students of prophecy, we call that the week of Daniel. So 408 minus 434 equals a negative 26, but you got to add the 1 year for year zero, which I didn't realize at first, and you actually come to the year 27 AD. And yes, this is why the Vatican changed times and laws. Not only did they change the Sabbath to Sunday, which only in their circles is going to work because it's not going to work in eternity, they also changed the calendars to try to prevent people from finding out these prophetic calculations. And then Daniel 9:26 says Messiah is to be cut off in the midst of the week. So just add 3.5 years, 3.5 years to 27 AD, you're going to come to the exact time in 31 AD when he hung on a cross. So in short, at the end of 69 weeks, Messiah does arrive. During the 70th week, Daniel said Messiah is going to be cut off in the middle of the week. And so doing the math, we find 3.5 years later, after he was cut off or crucified in the midst of that week. And so Jesus was baptized and anointed in 27 AD. 3.5 years later, Jesus was crucified via a church and state conglomeration of the Romans and the Jews. A lot of people miss that. That's why we have the 501c3 today. Rome played the part of the state, and the Jews played the part of the church. Just like the Seventh-day Adventist Church and all the other churches are playing the part of the church, and the state plays their part. And, in other words, that's why the 501c3 is such a major issue, and that's why they keep hiding it in the books, Spirit of Prophecy. That's what my video I put up yesterday was all about. I did have a video weeks prior, but I found that the quote I thought was not in the other books was actually in there, but it was reworded in such a way that when I was reading from the original 1884 Great Controversy, I couldn't find it, because they changed some of the words. I was just typing word for word the quote from the 1884. I couldn't find it. Later, somebody revealed to me that it is in there, so I pulled the video. But this one I found, no getting around this one. they removed it, and it was actually a better quote, because it was literally spoke of union in church and state, and they pulled that out, as well as the loud cry, as you saw in the video. So, but anyway, just as the Romans and the church of the day persecuted and killed Jesus and then his followers, all the 501c churches of today, and this includes the apostate SDA church, are going to do the same to us in the very near future. In fact, the persecution of the obedient remnant has already begun. For those of you that know about the trolls that keep attacking, that's why we turned off the text chat in the stream or here in the room. as well as they do this in email, and they're just, you know, the amazing thing is how would anybody want to join with them in their church when they use such wicked and disgusting and evil tactics? But they can't see that, because without the Holy Spirit, which most of them say doesn't even exist, so without the Holy Spirit, there's no way they can see what they're doing is wrong, because the Holy Spirit ain't telling them it's wrong because he's not in them. And sadly, the bulk of this attack comes from the Seventh-day Adventist people, because they have been taught the truth we present. And, you know, they present them as lies, you know. And so they defend their apostate pastors because they also refuse to open their own Bibles to make sure that they're doing the right thing. Lazy Christianity or lukewarm Christianity. They're just going to follow the leader, if you will. When knowing you're in the last days means the overwhelming majority of the leaders out there are going to be wolves. So open that Bible up. It's your own fault if you don't make it home. It's going to be all on you. And this is why we get the hate mail and the trolls and even the threats from Seventh-day Adventists today. So the truth we present doesn't so much annoy the Protestants, because they think we're just spiritually crazy for keeping God's law and especially the Sabbath, right? So the Protestants, yeah, they just yell at us and say, you're a cult. They walk away from it. They also see us as an error because we teach truth about the state of the dead or hellfire and even unclean foods. But the Seventh-day Adventist people, however, for the most part, know what we preach in these areas is truth. But because we do so without embracing the world that they love, that upsets them, just as prophecy said it would. And so those that at one time were our brethren are those that will come against us. I mean, after all, did not Jesus prophesy that if we follow him, that which he experienced, we will experience? And did not his own people reject him? So that's why we're seeing the attacks as we're seeing them now. You know, back when I first started doing this work 34-something years ago, Catholics mostly attacked me because the Lord at that time had me exposing them because I had just come out of Catholicism. And he gave me 10 years to unlearn Catholicism while, you know, I was doing that. And so at the end of the 10 years, he revealed his Sabbath to me. And then my wife and I decided, okay, well, we found out that there's people that keep Sabbath called SDAs. And we went into their church. They had no idea that we were devout Catholics 10 years prior. When we walked into the Seventh-day Adventist church, it was like, oh, man, it was Catholicism. Like, the young people in the SDA church today have no clue how Roman their church services are now. They have no clue because they were raised that way into that church. But talk to some of the old people, and they'll tell you. And so getting back to the prophecy, to finish the week of Daniel, we need to add 3.5 more years from the time Jesus was crucified to make for a complete week. And in so doing, we come to the exact year of 34 AD when the Jews stoned Stephen and sealed their fate, wherein they no longer held the title of Israel. The title Israel was from that day forward to be the title of obedient Christians. And look around. We have already seen all the churches fall into apostasy of every denomination except the obedient remnant people that came out of all those fallen churches. And so the stage is already set, and the persecution is soon to be upon us globally. And so we now look into the prophecy that speaks of cleansing the sanctuary, just as we did last Sabbath. And as students of prophecy, we know what Daniel 8:14 means when it said, and he said unto them, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. And so, I'm not going to go into a long dissertation about that, as it would take quite a few weeks to get through it, as we've been doing for over a year now in regards to the sanctuary. But suffice it to say, I have a few pages online about this, but checking out the timeline that I have online will quicken some of your studies on this, because I too put referencing on the timeline. But thanks to the papal influence and confusing the sermons and studies presented to the people for centuries, most never studied up the sanctuary. And they didn't realize that the sanctuary was a copy of the real one in heaven that we're all going to know on a regular basis, living in eternity. It's a big portion of being a Christian, a believer, a follower, a lover of God. And so that's why it was removed from Christendom the last 2,000 years, because, you know, there's a lot of good insight information here that we need. And so it ain't been on many pulpits. So, but that cleansing was to occur in heaven, so as to begin the final work of judgment that we are experiencing right now. And yes, That means we are in the sixth trumpet, awaiting the seventh trumpet to blow. And there is no eighth trumpet. The cleansing of the sanctuary, the heavenly sanctuary, or the starting of the investigated judgment of the house of God, was prophesied to begin at the end of the 2,300 days. That date started, as we learned earlier, in 457 BC. So count forward from there, and you'll see it does in fact end on October 22nd, 1844, because the Jewish calendar just said July 10, right? And which actually, or not July, the tenth day of the seventh month. They didn't call it July because they weren't pagans. And to have the judgment begin with the cleansing is fitting. And no, I'm not calling us pagans. It's just that pagans gave us the days of the week and the days of the year, or months of the year. And so, but to have the judgment begin with the cleansing is fitting. In that 1 Peter 4:17 says, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" This is why I'm so concerned for the SDA people. They know they are in apostasy. All of them know this. They actually admit it. Yet they stay in the church thinking they are safe because their apostate pastors say they are safe. Worse yet, they stay in when their church is right now being looked at from above as to who in that church is going to be obedient unto the Lord, who also said when you see apostasy, you need to leave that church immediately. It's even echoed all over the place in SOP, you know, in Spirit of Prophecy. But they removed all those quotes, or they won't put them on pulpits. There's a page on sdaapostasy.org, which that page is growing, you know, as often as I come across quotes in Spirit of Prophecy about the SDA church becoming a sister to fallen Babylon. You're not going to hear that stuff from their church pulpits. Revelation 18:4 isn't just for Roman Catholics. It's for every church that joins hands with Rome. And since the Seventh-day Adventist Church, along with all the other churches of the world, including non-Christian faiths now, they have all agreed to allow the Pope of Rome to be their moral leader. Actually, it went down unofficially on June 26, 2000, but it was unofficially declared, I think, in June of 1999. That's why I did that newsletter in 99 and then in 2000, showing how the prophecy was fulfilled. The One World Church began, but they still needed a few more members from non-Christian faiths. Well, February 4th, 2019 is when the One World Church became overwhelmingly official, and so staying in apostasy now is going to guarantee eternal damnation. Many SDAs said they will leave when apostasy finally goes off the charts. Well, February 4th, 2019 says it's now time for, because, you know, staying in the church is just deadly. You're actually Roman Catholic now. Seriously, if you're a Seventh-day Adventist in a Seventh-day Adventist church, you are Roman Catholic. If you don't believe me, you know, check out those videos I did where your tithe is being sent to the Pope. You know, through the One World Church, and he's the leader of it. Okay, it was behind closed doors, the leader of it, since 1999, but it's blunt now on February 4th. No getting around it now. And so the 2,300 days, which began in 457 BC, ended in the year 1844, which, as Daniel called it, the time of the end, or the time appointed. And when the end shall be, Daniel 8, verses 17 and 19, well, that's what Daniel 8, verses 17 to 19 said. And yes, this is why Rome changed the calendars again, as well as the Sabbath day, because changing the calendars made most people miss the fact that the prophesied 10th day of the 7th month in the original calendar used by the Jews was actually fulfilled on the 7th day of the, you know, or the 10th day of the 7th month. But now we have a completely different calendar, so now that actually falls on October 22nd, 1844. They also changed the calendars because they knew this 2,300-year prophecy was the last time prophecy with a date that was ever to be given before the plagues. We are that close. You know, you could say you're that close in 1844. You're scary close for those that don't repent, right? Today, oh, it's beyond scary close, you know, for those that don't repent. We are on, even the word harbinger can't even, you know, speak of it. I mean, the foundation's set. Cash society is already here. I mean, even though people are still using cash, a flick of a switch and that's done. they can manipulate the economy with a flick of a switch now. And so that was the last big straw that they had, and that's why you got the coin card and the credit cards. You know, checks was, like when checks first came out, I think, what was it, in the 40s or 50s? That opened a lot of eyes. They knew where that was headed. But they all, you know, the people ignored all that. Oh, whoop-de-doo, that's going to take 50, 60. Well, yeah, it's 50, 60 years later now, and we're living it. And so, but the thing here is, we are that close. And so, yes, we know what's going to happen next. We just don't know when. We don't know the date. But that still angers the Pope and the SDA leaders, because we could tell you today what they're going to do tomorrow. And they don't like that. So they do all they can to shut us up. And why do I say this is the last time prophecy or dated events to watch for this side of the plagues is done with? Well, Revelation 10:6, it clearly says, when speaking of this event, that there shall be time no longer. Well, we're still here, right? So that's talking about dated prophecy. And yes, this is why, you know, men like David Gates and others who keep giving dates regarding prophesied events are easily exposed as false prophets. Even before March 7th, the minute he set the date, he was a false prophet. Rock hard. Anybody that trusts a Bible knows the second he declared the date, he set that date when he said 1,260 days after the Pope visits Congress. What was it, September 23rd? That was the day he was declared a false prophet. So that's why it was so easy for me when I says, look, the guy's a false prophet. I put the videos out even before March 7th. You know, it was, you know, when I put out the statements. So, but people don't get it because, well, they don't read their Bibles. It's that easy to expose stuff like this because how can you be so sure? Well, because it was written down in your Bible. That's how I can be so sure. And so they keep giving dates, and these prophesied events are failing left and right because it's going to make – it's like the little boy that cried wolf, right? You keep saying the wolf's coming, and this always reminds me of what happened when I was 12 years old. Every day – well, not every day. For a 10-day period, out of that 10-day period, we had 7 tornado warnings. It was like – to me, being 12, it was like every day, tornado warning, right? And it actually worked because, like, for the first 2 or 3 times that he had out the tornado warnings, the whole neighborhood was quiet because all the moms and the dads made sure the kids were inside the house getting ready to jump underneath the house in a crawl space or basement, whatever they had. Well, in our neck of the woods, nobody had basements, right? And so, and then, you know, people would be very careful on the street and stuff like that. But by the time the 7th one was given, they did that last year. Everybody ignored it. That's why as many people died in Oak Lawn, you know, in our neighborhood, because they thought, well, it's not coming. It didn't come yesterday. It didn't come the day before. It didn't come. You keep crying. Well, see, this is why these false prophets are out there. They're going to make Christian prophecy look bogus. Seriously. Look at how accurate Christian prophecy is right now, how blunt and solid it is. But yet atheists will walk up and say, history repeats itself. Or, you know, come on, man. When you say prophecy, I turn off everything you say because everybody's – you got guys like Benny Hinn, who made his prophetic statements, or Hal Lindsey in his book, The Late Great Planet Earth. He said that homosexual would be gone in 1995. Or he even said that Jesus would come back in 95 or something, or the rapture would occur. And all these people over the last – just one generation alone has gotten people to the point where, yeah, when you start speaking prophecy, they don't even want to – they tune you out. And that's why David Gates and these kind of false prophets are out there. It's to make Christian prophecy look bogus. So that when the real prophetic events happen, no one's going to listen to us. Well, you know, except for those that read Bibles. Because they know what's going on too. So, some will twist the word of God by claiming Jesus only said we won't know the day or the hour of his second coming. You can give dates for other prophecies, they'll say. But Revelation 10:6 is quite clear. 100% of every false prophet, including David Gates, that have set dates since October 22nd, 1844, all of them have failed. I mean, just their record alone proves that you're not going to guess this. Okay, eventually someone's going to guess the date right? you can get some false prophet out there. Jesus is coming back on January 1st, January 2nd, January 3rd. He'll go all the way up till December 31st. So he's going to get a date. I mean, even a broken clock is right twice a day, right? So eventually he's going to get it right. But it's not going to be because he's a prophet. It's just because he's playing the system. Each and every one of them are false prophets. That in and of itself confirms if you defend such men, you are in grave danger of joining them in hellfire. But next Sabbath, I want to share how this prophecy is so remarkable in that it revealed the exact time of two of the most important events in the history of the plan of redemption. The first one happened 2,000 years ago, obviously, and the second one happened 175 years ago. Hope and pray you were blessed. Be back in a minute.